Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he had some things that he wanted to establish there as well as correct. Later on, we see correcting, but there's some things he establishes there. So I want to begin reading in verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading, guiding, and directing our time together, that everything that needs to be done today can be accomplished by your leading. And Lord, it is our heart's desire that each one of us hears your voice, that we all hear and know and understand who you are, and what you're all about, and why we're here today, so that you could be glorified, you could be honored above all things. And so, Lord, lead, guide, and direct this time that I share. Father, I pray that you would speak through me, that I would be your vessel today, and that I would speak clearly that which you've laid out. And so, Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our time. I pray for the hearts of the and the ears of those that hear. May our heart be good soil for the word of God to be planted, that it won't be so cluttered with the things of this world that no seed other than what's already there can grow. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're moving and what you're going to do in us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Paul was, as I said, Paul was writing to them, and Paul was like an overseer of this church. And as he was an overseer, he wanted to make sure there were some things that were established. And I'd like to go back to the very second verse. Paul describes who he is. He's an apostle. That's what an apostle does. He learns to establish and put into effect into churches, and that's what he does. But and he speaks over the church and different things. But he says, to the church of God in Corinth. So he's writing to a church that's ready, already listening. We're not writing to new believers or unbelievers. We're writing to people that are already existing in a body. And he's writing to them with instructions. And he says, he's writing to them in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. We're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of what he did, we now come into relationship with God, and because of that, we are now one with him. If we're one with him, what he says, we should say. What he does, we should do. What he hears, we should hear. You get what I'm saying? There shouldn't be this great disconnect in the body of Christ of people saying, well, I just don't know what God's saying. Well, there might be a time where you have to wait for God to speak about a certain situation, but when it comes to hearing God's voice, it should be a common thread that says, I hear him every day. And the reason that is because he talks every day. He doesn't wait for Sunday just to talk to you. Aren't you thankful for that? Woo-hoo! But he loves to talk to us. He loves to communicate with us. He can't wait to give to me what I need so that I can live this day successfully for him. That you can receive all that he gives for you to live this day, so that at the end of the day, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, we're good because of him, and we're faithful because of the choices we've made to follow him. We're doing what he's asked. I'm following my example. I'm listening. I'm hearing. And that's what makes living the sanctified life so powerful, is that you and I get to walk in this new way of living through Jesus Christ, through what he did. And he says, because of that sanctification, he says, you're called to be holy. Called to be holy and called to be holy together with all those everywhere and who call on the name of the Lord. So holy, that means set apart. That means that you're not going to just come here this morning, listen to what happens and sing and worship God, get back in your car, drive home, and just go do whatever you want. Amen. Because if you do, you're treating what God calls holy as unholy. Because nowhere does it ever say in Scripture that you and I have the freedom to use this temple for anything but him once we come under his leadership. So once I come under his leadership, under his King, Lord, and Master, you see, we all want Jesus to be our Savior. He loves to be our Savior, but he loves to be more than that. He loves to be the King, where what the King says, the King of Kings. So he's the King, and we're the King of Kings. We're the lower kings underneath him. And so no matter what he says, we can't wait to do what he says. Why? Because what he says is fulfilling what God wants. And why are you here? To fulfill what God wants. So if you're, now here's the thing about life. All of you have jobs of some sort, unless you're retired. You will have to go to work tomorrow morning and fulfill your job. Because God is, unless God changes what you're doing in life, he's not going to ask you to stay home when you should be going to work. Getting a job, doing what God's called you to do. Fulfilling the responsibilities that when you signed up for your job, you're going to do it. So Liz, if tomorrow morning you're supposed to be at work at 8, you can't just all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and say, nah, I'm not going to go to work because God's got something up. No, God's got something up maybe through your work. Because he takes you through what he's asked you to do. He's not going to tell you to stop doing what you should be doing and what you're already signed up to do. Unless he changes your job responsibility. And you want to become a preacher or something like that. I don't know why people don't want to be preachers. You work one day a week and the hourly wage is great. Just not many hours. So God has this plan, and so as you walk out your life, you're going to get these little seeds from God that are going to be dropped into your spirit, like pray over here, or go over here and talk to this person, or on your way to work, be praying specifically, and all of a sudden, somebody comes alongside of what you're doing, and it's like, wow, what in the world is all that about? And you begin to pray for them, and next thing you know, you have opportunity to meet them. And so there's all kinds of things that take place. But he says, not only are we sanctified, but we're called to be holy, set apart, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So if I call him Lord, then I've already committed to be holy. Well, the big problem we have in today's society is that people say, well, I can't be holy. Yes, you can. If you couldn't be holy, God would have never told you to be holy. Now, if God says you can be holy, it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what your neighbor thinks. It don't matter what kind of past you've come out of. Everybody already knows most of the garbage of your own life and my life. There's no possible way in their mind we can be holy. But when I come into relationship with God, my spirit man is pure, it's holy, it's righteous, it's set apart. The only part of me that needs some work is my flesh and my mind. So when God says be holy, we walk in a relationship with him where I learn to say yes to my spirit man, which is down here. My spirit man is down here. It's not up between my ears. This is your soul realm. This is how you think. And if your soul realm was your spirit realm, God wouldn't have told you to renew your mind. But your spirit man's down here. So you're going to, because the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? That's the spirit. It doesn't flow out of your mind. Your mind begins to respond to what your spirit is saying. So when I learn to walk by the spirit, I have to learn to deny my flesh. The way I deny my flesh is like this. The only way I'll ever crucify my flesh is if I have this relationship right with God. If I'm in right relationship with him, pretty soon you're going to see this, just a second. I get this right where I know him, I hear him, and I know what he's saying. And the reason I know that is because I've learned to crucify myself to my own ways. What does that make? A cross. I now have placed my will, my ways, my desires, my everything about me, I've crucified myself with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But I'll never be crucified if I don't get this right first. So if you don't want to walk with God or hear what God's saying, you're not going to get very far. You get this right, and all of a sudden, then you crucify yourself, and you become this cross, the crucified life. I've crucified my flesh, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, as Paul said. Paul says, I die daily. So every day, I take myself to the cross to crucify my ways, because you know as well as I do, no matter what happened this morning at church, when you wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be easy to do what you do. Am I not right? Because when you wake up tomorrow morning and you're tired and crabby, the first thing you're not going to want to do is read your Bible. Maybe your husband or wife snored too much last night. You couldn't get any sleep. Or the kids were up all night. And you still got to get up and go to work. Or maybe there was a neighbor that was being too rowdy or whatever. But the reality is that you and I are called to be holy. That means I'm set apart. In anybody's shop or even in the kitchen, there are some things you only use for what it was created for. You don't use it for a multi-purpose. Your life and my life was never meant to be a multi-purpose where we serve God with it today and tomorrow we go off and do our own thing or we go off and do make somebody else happy. In Malachi chapter 2, the Lord said to Judah and Israel, he says, what have I done that you divorced me? Divorced him. Yeah, he says, how did we divorce you? He says, by worshiping other gods. So what did God do in between the day that he helped them and worship or fulfilled their life, between that and the day that they chose to listen to another God, what happened? It's no different today. We could come here and worship God, praise his name, and give him all the glory, give some money, have a great time, a prayer time, and all those things, and then completely walk out those doors and completely give ourselves to something other than God. And he was saying to them in Malachi, what have I done that has caused you to sell yourself to another God? Basically, prostitute yourself. Or, as he says further, divorce yourself from God. God didn't ask you and I to divorce ourselves from God. He asked us to divorce ourselves from our old way of living. An old way of thinking, an old way of doing things. Why? Because if that way was so good, what did I need God for? So the reality is that God wants to do something in us so that we can become this one that is set apart. So I don't come here today just to preach to you guys and think that I'm set apart and holy. That's because this is what I do. You know as well as I do, when I go home, I have a family I have to take care of. I have other responsibilities that need to be done. And if I don't do them, I'm literally not honoring God with how I'm to be holy and set apart. Because if I'm holy and set apart, I will take care of my family. I will work with my hands. I will listen to what he says. I will pay my tithes. I will pay my bills. I will do all the other things that need to be done. Why? Because that's being holy and set apart to live in this world that no man has anything against you. And that God is pleased with how you and I are set, how you and I live. So he says, you are holy and set apart. Then he says in verse 4, I find it interesting in verse 3, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Once again, grace is not a cover-up of your sin. Grace is to empower you to live an upright, self-controlled, and godly life in this present age. That means it has the power and the potential to give you what you can't, you don't have in yourself. Mercy is what you didn't get. Mercy is what you get when you don't get what you deserve. That's mercy. Grace, it empowers you to do what you can't do by yourself. So he writes that to them. They're already believers, so they didn't need grace to cover up their sin. They needed grace to live this new way of living. Verse 4, he says, I thank God for you because of his grace, you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Turn over to 2 Peter 1:4. I love this scripture verse. 2 Peter, it's right after 1 Peter. Aren't you glad he didn't write the book like that? 1 Peter is right ahead of 1 John or 3 John or whatever. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, His is capitalized, so it's talking about God's. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. The only way that you can ever live for him is if you know him. You can't live for somebody if you don't know what's expected of you. So the only way you and I can live a holy life and be holy is to know who is holy. Who's holy? God is holy. And if God is holy, now because of the relationship, he's now going to begin to reveal or unveil. He's going to unveil himself so that I see who he is and then I begin to act just like him. And when I do that, then I can fulfill what God wants. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate, not be a spectator. God didn't ask you to come here and just be a spectator today. Anytime you go to church, you are not to be a spectator. You're to participate. Because I don't know about you, but I was never one that enjoyed sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to get tired or broke or hurt so I could play. I'll never forget, Kenny Lundeen was in the 167 weight bracket. He was a senior. I was a sophomore. And I had to beat him 3 times in a row. to take his spot. Everything that was in me was absolutely desiring that spot. Therefore, it didn't matter how old he was, it didn't matter how strong he was, I was going to take him out. And so when I wrestled, I went with vengeance, I went with everything that was about me to go make sure I could get that spot. But once I got that spot, then I needed to learn how to keep it. You know, we all like to conquer things, but do we know how to take care of it? It's easy to become a Christian, but can you stay a Christian? And the only way you and I could ever do that, I showed up for practices, I showed up early to lift weights, I went afterwards to lift weights, and no matter who challenged me that year, I had the 167 spot as a sophomore. Now that doesn't mean a whole lot to you because you don't know if there was anybody that ever challenged me. But I still had to go out on that mat and represent Arlington Cardinals on that mat every time I was called upon. So I had to demonstrate that I was worthy of that spot because there were some others that wanted it, but you just know. So God's grace and his peace is what empowers you not only to get right with God, but to stay right with God. To get in there and allow him to do what needs to be done. He said he's given us everything we need, so now it's because he's given us everything we need, we can continue to do that. That's exactly what he said back in Corinthians, going back there, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5. He says, "For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad that God sees enough to be able to equip you to live your life like he wants? Therefore, I want to encourage you, don't be a fussy eater of what you get out of God's word. Don't be finicky and only eat what you like. Because God's word has the ability and the potential to fulfill everything inside of me just like he did for Jesus. Everything. That means I lack nothing. That means you lack nothing. That you can't go to God and say, "Well, I can't do that. I've never done that before." Well, guess what? When you got him, you got the whole package. And now you do have what you need. Oh, you may have never used it before, but guess what? If somebody gave you a car that you've never driven before, I bet you'll figure out how to drive it. Won't you? So why wouldn't you take the same attack to the things that God says he has already given you? Why would you not use that the same way? "Well, I've never prophesied before." So what? Who cares? "I've never spoken tongues before." And your problem is? There's a whole bunch of stuff in our everyday life we've never done before, but guess what? If God says it's in the package, it's in the package. It's there for you and it's there for me. He's given us everything we need, and we don't lack anything, any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end. Boy, I like that. The Bible says, "He who endures to the end will receive the crown of life." Not he who starts, not he who runs halfway, but he who runs to the end. Are you willing to run your race today? Are you willing to run it no matter what comes up? Because if you look around, there's some tough stuff going on in our world today. But are you willing to run for him? Are you willing to say, "I counted the cost, Lord. I'm going to serve you no matter what. I'm in this for the long haul." I can't imagine Howard taking a trucking job and saying, "Well, I'm only going to go halfway." Are you going to get paid?
No.
Of course not. Yeah. But I mean, why would he only go halfway? Why wouldn't he go all the way? Right? Because there's better pay in all the way, isn't there? Same thing with God. You can run only half the race, but I tell you what, the pay is awesome when you finish. Because you're not only watching God do stuff while you're living here, but like Paul always said, "I look forward to being with him one day in that awesome heavenly place, that place that he's prepared for me." And I don't know about you, but he doesn't give much promise for those that don't finish the race. You can't find it in Scripture of those that have only run their half the race. Because anybody can quit, that's easy. But I pray that you and I become diligent, strong, to the end. Why did he tell him that? He said, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end. If Jesus said he would keep you strong, guess what? You're going to be able to be strong, but you're only going to be strong when you do it his way. You can't do it your way. You can't continue to live your life any way you want and think that you're going to be strong for Jesus. It's not going to happen. I have to learn to surrender my life, surrender my ways, surrender my thoughts, surrender my words, surrender my eyes, surrender my ears. I have to surrender everything, my pocketbook, my attitude, my way, everything about me, I learned to surrender to him. Why? Because he wants to be in charge of it all. He wants a body. He wants a bride. Can you ever picture a bride coming to, I hope nobody's done this. You're getting married. And all she does is she wears the top part of the dress, but the bottom, she just has shorts on. No train, nothing beyond that, just the top and the veil. Coming down the aisle with her dad-to-be, or dad giving her away. I mean, you'd go, where's the rest of the dress? It's like, what happened? Why don't we have the whole dress? Well, you know, I got the top on and I just got tired and I just really didn't want to finish getting ready for you. Oh, appreciate that. So when it comes to Christ, he's the groom, we're the bride. What does he tell us in Scripture? Get ready. Get ready. Because there's a wedding day that's coming. It's an awesome banquet that's going to be served, and it's going to be a great day. But you and I have to learn to get ready. Do you realize that on the way home today, some of us could be done? I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying possibilities are there. Are you ready to be done? What if today was my last day? I'm not afraid. I want to finish my race. I don't care if it's today or tomorrow or next week or next year, or next 50 years. I really don't care. All I want to know is I want to be able to run my race so that when I stand before him, I can stand there with confidence saying, just like Jesus did, Father, I did everything you asked. That's what I want. But you see, that comes at a price here. It might be easy for us all to do this here, but as soon as you and I walk out those doors, we get in our own cars, we go to our own houses, our own jobs, our own communities, and we get in there, and what is God saying about that day? What is God saying about Tuesday morning when you get up? What is God saying about Wednesday when you're halfway through? What is God saying about Thursday and Friday and Saturday? And we come back here, and then what is God saying again that inspires us to continue to walk on and to not quit? Because he said he'll help us to the end. God has called you into a fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful. A fellowship. All that really means is fellows in the same ship. Fellowship. Really, I'm not kidding you. It's a bunch of fellows in the same ship. Isn't that, that's profound. I know, you're all just like, wow, where did Pastor Jeff get that? But that's really all it is. And so if God can't wait to have this relationship with me, why don't we want to be in the same ship? Why don't we want to ship with him? And why don't we want to go down with him? Why don't we want to spend time with him? Why are we so eager to spend time with everything else and sometimes leave God to the very last part of our day and just like, okay, God, I got 5 minutes. I'm really tired. I got to get up early, so make it quick. Not gonna get much out of that. But if you start your day, however you start your day with God, say, Lord, I'm walking this day with you, and whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to do. However you want me to you know, when I go to town, I actually ask what direction you want me to go. Because there could be somebody along the ride that needs something that God's got a divine appointment set up. I mean, that's how I think. And I think that's God's taught me those kind of things. And so there's some days he takes me down roads and I go, what did we go that way for? He never answers, so I guess I don't have to wonder. But the reality is that God wants us to be in the same ship with him. He wants this relationship. I have a relationship with my wife. She is the only one outside of our kids that sleeps in our bed. I don't fellowship in my bed with anybody else but my wife. If there's any question, just letting you know. We're two fellows in the same ship. We're heading the same direction. We're in this together. There's an intimacy there that is not like anything else that I have with anybody else. So what God wants and what he's looking for is he's wanting us to be in the same ship with him, having a relationship as a bride and a groom where what he says, I hear. What I say is important to him, and we have this communication back and forth on a daily basis, hearing and knowing what is important to him and what he knows what's important to me. Did he not say in Psalms that he would give us the desires of our heart? Now, does that sound like he is ready for a relationship? Of course it does. So if we're in the same ship and I honor him like he wants, if I honor him as he desires, then he is in turn going to honor me by helping me with the desires of my heart, which, by the way, have changed because he's in my life. You ever met somebody that was single and they couldn't wait to do what they wanted to do, and then they got married and their whole life just went out of whack? They no longer do half the things they used to do by themselves. Chris, you remember that? Yeah. It's because there's now a new fellow in the same ship that made a difference. God made a difference and made a difference, and now he's not the same guy. Why? Because there's different fellows in the same ship. And that's what God is looking for here. How's my time, by the way? Anybody got a watch on? What? Ooh. You know, the funny thing was, before I left this morning in the house, go to Glenfield, the Lord says, you won't get very far in your message. Okay. Did you notice I read all the way to the end? Just in case I didn't hear right. So I'm hearing, I heard, Lord, I love that. I don't always understand, but we're here. So he says, and God, verse 5, boy, I might have to get stronger glasses here. Oh, verse 9, excuse me. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So here's the thing. If God is faithful to us, don't you think you and I should be faithful to him? And out of that faithfulness, God will birth and bring things that you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else. But if we're never faithful to him, don't be surprised if you don't get anything from him. Because you might be prostituting yourself with another God. Oh, some of the sweetness of prostitution might look pretty nice, but I'll tell you, there's an awful price to pay. God is faithful. He is faithful. He is the one that absolutely can't wait to be the Lord, King, and Master of my life. And when I respond to him and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my King. I want you to be the King of my life. Then I've just become fellows in the same ship. And I have this fellowship with him to where he walks, I walk. What he says, I say. What he does, I do. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, would anybody be able to tell that about your life with how you lived this last week? That you're in the same ship as Jesus? By how you talked, by how you walked, by how you did things? by how you treated your family, how you treated your neighbor, how you treated your children? Would they be able to tell, or would you have to explain it to them? Ouch. I pray that it becomes so obvious in our lives. I really do. God is looking for that kind of relationship where what he says becomes obviously done through us. And so with that, I know my time is up and I need to scoot. I got to go to the nursing home. But I pray today that for you and for myself, for me first, of course, I never point my finger at you first. I always make myself be a part of the example. Because I have to live this, otherwise I'm just a puppet up here being manipulated to say what needs to be said. And God didn't create me to be a puppet, he created me a messenger. Amen. A messenger that not only hears it, but lives it. So if anybody wants to get up in front and talk, make sure you're living before you talk. Father, this morning I want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you desire to have a relationship with us this morning. The awareness of repenting of sin was just amazing. Lord, there was such a work of the Spirit that was being done. And we thank you for that, because we know we have to get sin out of the way. We know we have to get right with you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to help us not only to get that out of the way, but keep this ship clean. Keep it from the things that would contaminate it and cause it not to be fruitful. So, Lord, thank you for helping me and helping this congregation accomplish that today. Lord, we do look forward to spending time with you. We look forward to having a relationship with you where we know your voice, we hear your voice, and we do exactly what you ask, because we know it's pleasing to you. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do this morning and how you're going to establish and bring new things into our lives because of your word, not because of what I said, but because of your word. And so, Father, I want to ask that you would just continue to lead and guide this congregation as they spend some time here this morning and throughout the rest of this day. And Lord, we just want to honor you and thank you and praise you for what you're doing. And we look forward to walking with you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. If you're having trouble in your marriage, maybe it's because there's no honor to the other person. You notice that in Malachi chapter 1, you'll read this. The Lord says, if I'm your father, where is the honor due me? My wife and I, we could stand up here today and I say, if I'm your husband, where's the honor due me? And she could say, if I'm your wife, where's the honor due me? And if it's not obvious, then maybe there's a problem of honor. If you want to be married to something else other than your wife, you will get it. But you might be alone. So if you have not honored your spouse today, even before you leave, drop to your knee and say, I honor you today. I prefer you today. I'm here to make you pleased. Why? Because that's what honor is. Honor never seeks to please themselves. Honor always seeks to make sure you're happy. That's what honor is. And if you don't do that on a regular basis, I promise you, you might be alone. I don't know where that came from. Honestly, I have no idea. But if a shoe fits, we have to wear it, right? If it's in the buffet, let's eat. So I pray that you get something out of that. Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the food and those that brought it, multiply it, and allow it to feed everybody with a great success of enjoyment. And great fellowship. So thank you for what you're going to do the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you need prayer or want something, grab one of these guys that are up here, ladies that are here. Come and pray. And otherwise, we'll ask mom and dads to go through the line with their kids, and we'll see you again.